Hi, you're listening to YouthCast, and I'm your host, Molly Adams. It's a childhood dream, at least it was for me, to grow up in the wild, close to nature, maybe in a treehouse, Swiss Family Robinson style. But in reality, it might not be as easy as the picture books show. Grace Edgerton grew up on a homestead out in the Arizona desert, initially living in tents before the house was built. She now lives in Tucson and attends City High School, a small charter school with an awesome radio program. And when it came time for her to make a feature, there was no other question as to what story Grace would tell, her own. Stay tuned after the story. I talked to Grace over the phone about the importance of sharing your own history and the positives of her childhood and the ways in which it has changed her. This is Homestead Childhood by Grace Edgerton of City High Radio.
When we first moved to Double Adobe, Arizona, we lived in tents. It didn't bother me since the property was new and my parents had shown me the plans for the house we would build. They explained that it would be energy efficient and showed me the exact spot of land where it would be built.
Mom, could you describe what it looked like?
It was a beautiful natural landscape with mesquite trees and acacia trees and a lot of grass.
In some places, there were clumps of buffalo grass several yards wide and taller than my head. They were almost maze-like, and though tempting to play in, the chances of being bitten by a snake or poisonous insect were too high. All it took was a rainstorm. It came in suddenly, the black clouds rolling in from seemingly nowhere and gathering with a furious determination. We were so desperate to get out of the downpour that my stepfather rigged up a sort of shanty with old corrugated tin for us to hide under. Somehow, that slanted, sloppy pile of metal became our base camp. Naturally, it began to expand. Eventually, it grew into a horrible, two-story monster house. When my stepfather added a second floor, that's where I was moved to. The roof just brushed the top of my head when I stood in the center of the room, and then it slanted sharply downward on either side.
Our house, if you can call it that, was a slapdash metal box in the middle of the desert that was really hot in the summer and really cold in the winter, with a lot of unsealed openings. You could see dust coming in through the cracks and through any open windows when there was a dust storm or a dust devil. And everything inside was just always filthy, and it was really difficult to keep anything clean.
My only real social interaction was with my mother and my stepdad. I didn't dislike my stepdad, exactly. He always made me uncomfortable, though. I felt as though I was always walking on eggshells. My mom decided to take me out of public school because the schools where I grew up were notoriously bad. My mom rented textbooks from the library in Bisbee, which was the closest town to Double Adobe, about 9 miles away.
What was it like for you to homeschool me?
For me, it was just something I felt it was a great responsibility, and I had to do right by you to make sure that I did a good job.
Was that difficult to deal with when you were homeschooling?
Sometimes, but actually not really any different than it is now with your schoolwork.
Our plan had been to have a few chickens and ducks whose eggs we could gather. But my stepdad's father had gotten drunk one night and decided to order us a huge flock of birds as a gift. We ended up with over 30 chickens and 20 ducks. There was one chicken in particular that I really bonded with. Her name was Francine. On the cold winter mornings, I would wrap her up in my coat, and she would make soft cooing sounds until she fell asleep. Francine was my dearest friend for a long time. Imagine my surprise then when I went to the coops one night to find my Francine, too ill to even roost. Just as I was shutting the door to the coop, I heard a strange thump. I hurried back in to find Francine had fallen, dead, to the ground. I was so upset that I ran inside crying and screaming about how much I hated my life. "This is so stupid," I said. "I hate it here. I know you think I only say that when I'm upset, but it's true. I really hate it here." And it was true. I was miserable. I was tired of always being dirty, covered in soot and animal poop. I was tired of showering once every week or less because it was too much work to gather the thorn-covered firewood to heat water for a sponge bath. The worst part, though, was that things were always dying. Nothing ever died of old age there. Animals died of bizarre sicknesses. They broke their legs and got infections. Things were eaten on a regular basis by coyotes, wild dogs, and big cats. Even my hamster, Ichigo, was caught and killed in a trap.
Did I seem happy?
When we first moved out there, it was an adventure, and you were a lot younger, and you seemed very happy. But over time, when all of our plans were not coming to fruition in the way that you and I had thought, that's when you started to become most unhappy.
When did you know that it was time to leave?
When it was apparent that you were so desperate to get out of there. Because I thought, if this were a happy, healthy home, you wouldn't be so desperate to get away from it.
How did you feel when I left and you were still there?
All I wanted to do was just be more involved in your life. I couldn't imagine. When you moved up here, I just couldn't stand the thought of not being involved in your daily life. And sharing your life experience, there was no question. There was no question of what it was I had to do.
Shortly after I moved away to Tucson, my mom left my stepdad and came to live near me. Now we're here together in a small house. I feel a lot happier, and I'm going to a small charter school downtown. After we moved, my mom and I started talking about starting our own farm. And now, that's my dream. I want to have a loving home, somewhere green and cool, with a real house and proper farming equipment. But most of all, I want a family that takes time to build strong relationships and really communicate with one another.
That was Grace Edgerton's story, Homestead Childhood, and now here is Grace herself. She was not feeling well the day we talked, so listen closely to her sick little voice. The most striking part of this feature to me was when you asked your mom if you were difficult, and you sounded really nervous when you asked her that question. Were you?
Not that nervous, I guess. I think when she answered, I was actually really surprised because I had always thought that I was really difficult. So I was expecting her to say, you know, yeah, that I was. But.
And then my other question is, have you heard of this book that's been getting a lot of publicity recently? It's called This Life Is in Your Hands, about a woman who grew up on a homestead in Maine in the 60s.
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't read it. I heard her interviewed the other day, and there were some similar things. And I think one of her parents are actually, like, her father's like a famous organic farmer, and she talked a lot about needing to tell her own side of the story when it came to remembering growing up. You know, her parents had always talked in public about what it was like going, you know, quote, back to the land. But she felt like it took her a long time to figure out how she felt about it, but then also the need to tell her own story. Was this story of your life growing up something you felt like you needed to tell? Was it a natural choice for you when you made this radio piece?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I was sort of in the same situation where I had only heard my parents talking about it and heard what they thought it was like and what they thought was happening, and it was different to me. Like, I was experiencing it all differently from them, and only recently I've started to think about everything that had happened and how I felt about things.
Do you feel like, are there still things now that you're like, you know, quote, back in civilization, like, are there still things now that you don't get or that you feel like you have less of an understanding of than your peers?
I think that I had trouble developing socially a little bit, and I don't really have trouble making friends or anything, but I feel like other people, maybe it's easier for them to communicate with each other. Whereas I spent a really important developmental part of my life in a situation where I didn't feel like I was in control and I was very isolated. So I think that affects how I interact with people now. And also I have a lot more appreciation for things I've noticed than other people my age who haven't had the same experiences.
How does your mom feel about it? You know, you asked if you were difficult and you felt like you were being difficult. Did she understand why you would feel like you were a difficult kid?
Yeah, my mom was a lot different back then. And I think maybe it wasn't so much that I was difficult, but that she was less patient at the time. So now when she thinks about my behavior, she reacts differently to it. And so like, for example, if I didn't finish an assignment, now she would be, well, it wasn't something I was really interested in, or it wasn't something I completely understood. But at the time, she would have just been frustrated and thought that I wasn't doing what I needed to do. So I think a big part of it was the chemistry between us, and how that was different.
Everyone always thinks about it in terms of, like, no's, like, I will never do this with my kid. But are there things that maybe you learned from your mom that you would do?
There definitely are. I mean, the way my mom has changed makes me think that, you know, I'd rather act like her now when I have my own kids than how she was before when we were living on the farm. But also, I did learn a lot of really good things from that experience, and I think that they're important, like just appreciation for nature and knowing how to do things on your own. Like, because of that, I know all about what kind of food I could eat in the desert, just like natural foods and stuff that a lot of people don't know about, like not just youth but adults who live in Arizona have no idea. And I think that's really important to not lose that connection with your environment. And that's definitely something I'd want to teach my children if I have them.
All right. Well, congratulations. It's a really beautiful piece. My editor at PRX, also, she recommended it to me as soon as it was up. She's like, this is so beautiful. Check this out. So, and I see it's been licensed by another station. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
This has been Molly Adams for YouthCast, where radio makes you wish you were young again. We are a project of Generation PRX, a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced audio. Check it out at generationprx.org and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/generationprx. And be sure to check out youthcast.org, where you can catch up on all of our old episodes featuring innovative and unique stories from young people all over the world. Talk to you soon.